We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey everyone, welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, the Friday morning DFS version. As always, I am Scott Jensen joining you this morning. We're sponsored by WinBet. We appreciate that. We have a new partner starting today, Ryan Belangi, who's a big DFS player, writes about DFS for the RotoWire site. So happy to have him aboard here. As we talked about last week, Andrew Laird has actually moved on to a different job. You can find out about that on Twitter if you want to. Wish Andrew the best. Obviously, done this for him with him for a bunch of years, and look forward to doing it with Ryan now. Ryan, good to meet you. Good to have you here. Why don't you give everybody a 30 to 60 second intro on what you do for the site, how you fit in this DFS world, what you're doing here.
Sure. Yeah. Like you said, we're going to miss Andrew a lot. He was great on all these podcasts. Hopefully I can do a decent job filling in for him. A lot of you guys might know me from the soccer podcast. If you're into that, I write the soccer articles at RotoWire. I also write the Sunday DraftKings article and some of the Showdown articles too. I play all the DFS sports, well, almost all of them, but a lot of NFL. Just one common question that I get, and it's probably going to be important for what we talk about, and a question that I hear a lot of other people get on podcasts is, what tournaments do I play, or what tournaments am I going to be talking about, or what is my analysis like based off of? Well, I play cash in NFL, a lot of cash, all of the single entry double ups, from $5 up to 250. And then I play the single entry GPPs and the three max GPPs, all the way from $3 up to 200. So I don't play the Millie Maker or the huge field tournaments like the Slant or the Mini Max, or sometimes I play the three max, but not a lot. So what that means, like a lot of times I'll play more. You can play more of the chalky guys in the single entry tournaments that I play with a couple leverage guys and a couple, single digit guys in the single digits in terms of ownership. If I was to play those bigger tournaments, that's where you really got to start fading the chalk and going way off the board. You know, we see the winners in those tournaments have multiple players, you know, around 5% ownership every week. So if you hear me talking and you think, you know, it's too chalky or I'm not going off the board enough, it's just, those are the tournaments that I play. So
yeah, and that's that's good to know. And there's obviously way different ways to act. Some people play cash, some people play only the big tournaments, some people play those kind of medium things. So it's good to know. And we'll kind of hit players for all those different tournaments and all those different cash games as we go along, as always. So we'll happy to have you aboard. Look forward to doing it. It's good to have someone with a lot of good DFS experience, both for me and for all the listeners. So I can always I always look forward to learning from people to play a lot too. So let's jump into the week six slate. It's our first short slate of the year. We've got four teams that are on bye, so two less games there. Plus, we have a London game. So we're down to 10 games on the main slate that you and I will be discussing. Seven early, three late. Our four primetime games, which we won't talk about, we had Philly and Tampa Bay last night. Seattle and Pittsburgh, which, you know, sounds great, but kind of a gross game now. It's that was a game that sounded really good a month ago. Buffalo and Tennessee are Monday night, and then Miami and Jacksonville are the London game. We have the 49ers, the Falcons, the Saints, and the Jets on a bye. On a shorter slate, does that affect how you build it all? You know, when we go from 13 games to 10 games, obviously that's six less teams we're talking about. How does that impact you at all, like kind of off the top before we get to talking about players?
Yeah, normally it would. Like, you'd expect some of the chalkier spots to be even more popular. Yeah. And I think we have a couple spots like that this week. But to be honest, there still ends up being spots like that on 13-game slates. I mean, people tend to gravitate towards the same things most weeks, at least, you know, a few of the same spots, a few of the same games. So it still just all comes down to getting leverage in certain spots. I mean, you can still play chalky guys. It's really not that much different, you know, if a guy's 30% owned or 40% owned because it's a shorter slate, or 20 to 30. I mean, yeah, those are small differences, but if you're building lineups that have like differential in other places, it still doesn't matter. So I'm not looking at it too differently, but yeah, there are less spots than usual. So I think people will gravitate towards some of the same games.
Yeah, it's a weird week where the Monday night game being on Monday and the players doing really well and the price is not adjusting because the pricing comes out before the game really affects this week. We have like four guys in that Monday night game from last week that I think will be pretty popular this week. But let's take a look at some of the games we got this week. Look at the high totals first. We have a big we have three games that are over 50 this week, three games that are over under 45, and then a few in the middle. Kansas City and Washington, obviously, we always have the Chiefs in this high range. Chiefs games are averaging 63.5 points per game combined in the totals. That's mostly because the Chiefs have given up 30 points in four straight games, and obviously the Chiefs' offense is really good. So we've seen a lot of fireworks in Chiefs games. Washington games, too. Like, they're at, like, the fourth highest total in games. I mean, their defense, which was vaunted before the year, has been really, really bad. So that game is 54.5. The Chargers in Baltimore, you know, big matchup here between young stud quarterbacks, between Justin Herbert and Lamar Jackson, 52.5 in that game. Dallas and New England, a lot of that's based on Dallas's offense. That's 50.5. Any of these top games, you're like, oh my gosh, that's the game I want to attack and go heavy on and stack like crazy. Any three games really jump out to you like that's the one I want?
Yeah, definitely. That Chiefs game is hard to avoid. It looks great on both sides. Like you said, the Chiefs have given up 30 in four straight games, and the game they didn't, they gave up 29. And then, you know, Edwards-Helaire being out, you'd think we'll have them throwing the ball a little bit more. And the fact that they're 2-3 too, like, this is just a spot where you feel like they're going to try to score and keep scoring the whole game. I mean, they need to win and they need to be sort of ruthless about it. And yeah, they've been bad defensively too. So those guys on Washington are cheap with the exception of McLaurin, but yeah. I like that whole game. I'm going to have a lot of exposure to that game. It'll be popular, but rightfully so. It just, like you said, 54.5 total. Chiefs games have been going over 60. Kind of think this game goes over that total. Yeah, I mean, it looks great. And then, like, specifically, we'll get into players later, but Kelsey's just way too cheap.
I was surprised by his price. He's 7,000 on DraftKings even. I was surprised he was that cheap.
It's very surprising because he had been over 8K in all four of the other Sunday slates that he was on. And, like, it's even a better spot for him with Edwards-Helaire being out and Tyreek Hill maybe being a little banged up. Like, that should be a few more targets to Kelsey. So yeah, just it's all going in the right direction for him. And, yeah, I love that Chargers-Baltimore game too. Like you mentioned at the start, which I think was a really good point, that Baltimore game being on Monday night, the prices didn't adjust since they were already out. So I think, like, Mark Andrews is definitely too cheap. Marquise Brown is probably a bit too cheap too. And that game has the second highest total. You know, Herbert's been amazing. Eckler's been amazing. Mike Williams has been amazing. Keenan Allen is cheap. So, I mean, that game looks great. Yeah, both those games look great. And I'm like those are games for those big tournaments like the Millie Maker that you could fade. Like, it makes sense to fade in those huge tournaments, but I'm going to be playing those games for sure.
Yeah, I think I'm there with you. You know, Baltimore, and you talked about Marquise and Mark Andrews, but I mean, Lamar Jackson's $900 cheaper than Pat Mahomes. So there's a big drop off between the two of them when you just kind of start at the top of quarterback. Lamar obviously went crazy on Monday night. That didn't get factored in. Low totals. We'll go hit these quick, but we've got Houston and Indy at 43.5. Pretty gross game overall there. However, Jonathan Taylor's really cheap there, and Houston's run defense is bad, and Jonathan Taylor went off on Monday night. The fourth guy that I was talking about that is really underpriced because they didn't have a chance to adjust for Monday. Green Bay and Chicago, we think of as a fun game, but that total is only 44. A lot of that has just been the Chicago offense is struggling right now. And then Las Vegas and Denver, I think it's 44.5. Another game where, you know, we expect, you know, maybe a little lower than I thought, but, you know, Denver defense is really good. Denver's missing a lot of guys. Las Vegas is sputtering a little bit the last couple of weeks. Obviously, John Gruden out there, so who knows what their offense is going to look like, how much they've practiced, what's going on there. So that game's under 45 also. We have a couple of games in the middle. Are there any other games that, before we jump into players, that you're really looking to stack? I know that the Arizona-Cleveland game interests some people, but is there any other games that, you know, maybe that aren't over 50? Like, yeah, I think this is going to go a little higher than most people think.
Yeah, like a sneakier game. I don't mind the Cincinnati-Detroit matchup.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, too. I like that. I think that's the Cincinnati stack is actually turning out to be one of my favorite ones, too.
Yeah, I like the Cincinnati stack. You know, they're banged up at running back. They should be passing. They've opened up the offense a bit more in the past 2 weeks. And then Detroit has some guys you can run it back with, like DeAndre Swift. I really like, and I like him too because he's not really dependent on a game script. He's good from behind. He's good when they're up. He'll get carries. He'll catch passes either way. And Detroit. They're pretty banged up at wide receiver now with Quintez Cephas out and Williams still out. So I think I'm not sure his first name, this St. Brown guy looks like pretty good value as a run back too.
Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's a lot of target. Yeah, a lot of targets the last couple of weeks. So I do like that one too. So let's get into players. We usually start at the top with, you know, guys we think are going to be, you know, highly rostered, popular in cash games, kind of optimal. So first, a note from our exclusive sponsors at WinBet. There's one thing we appreciate here at Royal Wire. It's making good decisions. And even more so, it's making the right decision. Listen up. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WinBet, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WinBet is now the exclusive partner for RotoWire's Fantasy Podcast. WinBet brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, Robins, live betting, and so much more all at your fingertips. Do you want a break from sports betting? Head into WinBet's digital casino and take a spin on roulette, double down in blackjack, slam the slot to try your hand at baccarat. WinBet is currently available in 6 states, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, all while rapidly expanding. At WinBet, the possibilities are limitless. WinBet is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WinBet now. That's WynnBet, WinBet, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's Fantasy Podcast.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
So we kind of spoiled a little bit. I do think the Lamar Jackson, it's only 7,400 DraftKings, $900 less than Mahomes, is going to be very popular. I think that the other quarterback in the Mahomes games, Taylor Heineke at 5,800, is also going to be popular. Where do you think we're looking at what kind of get quarterback rostership? Where do you think we're looking at Mahomes, Lamar, and Heineke as your three top guys?
Yeah. So for cash games specifically, yeah, I agree. I think it's really hard to avoid Lamar. He seems a bit too cheap, like you said. I'm definitely going to play Lamar in cash games. I think he's a great tournament play too, obviously. And then, yeah, Heineke too. I talked with a couple friends that might be playing cheaper quarterbacks in cash. And yeah, I think you can go to Heineke, and I also think you can go to Carson Wentz at 5,400. I know it's a low total, but he doesn't need to do much at that price tag. It's just a really good matchup. They're 10-point favorites. Yeah, I love Mahomes for tournaments, but for cash, I think you just go with Jackson. If you want to pay down, you can. Heineke and Wentz are okay, but yeah, I think that's the pool for cash games.
Yeah, I mean, and Lamar had what? It was 37-43 for 442 against Indy. Also ran the ball 14 times. Like, it was just a huge game. That has the potential to be back and forth. You could see him and Herbert getting into a shootout. The Ravens are more reliant on the passing game this year, I think, which is the key part of this. Like, they have some running backs that are injured. I don't think they fully trust any of their guys to hand the ball off like they did last couple of years. I mean, Lamar had 37-43 pass attempts last couple of weeks, which is, you just don't see that from Lamar. You know, last week is the first time he had more than one TD pass, which is kind of crazy. Like, you think about all those Marquise Brown plays, the drops and all that the couple of weeks. So he probably should have had more, but he's only rushed for a touchdown in week two. So, like, the touchdown stuff had not been there until last week. And obviously it blew up. But, I mean, Lamar's floor is just so big with the rush yards. It's hard to get away from him at that price.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, they're sort of morphing into more of a passing team with the lack of a running game. And Lamar looks better than he used to throwing the ball, too. He throws a really nice deep ball, and they should have to be passing in that game. It should be competitive. And, of course, we always play him for the rushing upside. I mean, yeah, still amazing running the ball and just – yeah, he should be about 8K in this spot, you'd think. So it's just, he's got a lot going for him. I think it's pretty easy just plug him in cash games.
And I think what people will notice is they'll flip on. They'll be like, oh, I want either Mahomes or Jackson. And then you're like, they're $900 difference. I think that'll really affect people as you kind of, you know, the mindset as you flip through there. But talk to me about Taylor Heineke real quick. We mentioned him real at the top, but 5,800, I think, is the reason that everybody's playing him. That plus the fact they're playing the Chiefs, you know, price, game script, matchup, high total. Should be throwing the ball the whole second half. The Chiefs, we mentioned, have allowed 30-plus points in four-straight games. You point out, well, that the 29 was the other one, so, you know, 30 is an arbitrary point there. So they're giving up a lot of points. He was legit bad last week against the Saints. Don't get me wrong. He was 20 of 41, 248 yards, no touchdowns, two picks. But prior to that, he had back-to-back three-touchdown games. They should have to throw a lot. The Chiefs are allowing 9.3 yards per attempt. Like, they're a mess on defense right now. They've allowed 280-plus yards passing each of the last three, 9 touchdowns passing last three games. Like, this lines up so well on paper, but I get it. It's Taylor Heineke, so people are a little hesitant there, but I think the price kind of makes it makes him really playable this week.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you said. You know, he was bad last week. It is Heineke. It's not a guy that you're comfortable rostering, but this matchup is much better. You know, we've talked about how the Chiefs have just given up tons of points. Washington's almost certainly going to be playing from behind. He's going to be throwing the ball around. And he runs the ball a bit too. I see over 40 yards rushing in his past two games. He's a good scrambler. Yeah. And then the price tag, 5,800. So, I mean,
yeah,
you can roster him and then afford some of the expensive guys. Even like if you stack that Chiefs game, you can play Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill or even both of them, but not with Mahomes. You can play it with Heineke because, they have McLaurin, who's looks like a really good play in this game. And then Ricky Seals-Jones looks like really good value tight end.
I think there's going to be, as we get to tight end here in a second, there's going to be a lot of Ricky Seals-Jones clicks this week, I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can talk about, we'll get into that later. But yeah, I'm on board with Heineke this week. Again, like you never really feel comfortable clicking his name, but it's just a great game script and matchup for him.
Yeah, so let's just jump down to Ricky Seals-Jones for a second. He is 3,000. Obviously, Logan Thomas is out. He's on the IR. He's out for a few weeks. Seals-Jones had 8 targets last week in the first game without Logan Thomas, and his price didn't move up at all. He's still minimum price 3,000. I think he's going to be crazy popular. There's a lot of people that are like picking him up last week. Like, I think I like him without Logan Thomas, blah, blah, all that kind of stuff. And then with 8 targets, you got to think people are going to play him this week. The Chiefs have allowed 5 tight ends already over 50 yards this year, which is kind of a crazy stat considering it's been 5 weeks in. Dawson Knox had that big play last week, 3 for 117 and a touchdown. Ricky Seals-Jones had 3 end zone targets last week too. Like, I think it's an interesting spot. If you're going to play tournaments, he's a really interesting fade just because everybody's going to play him at 3,000. The problem is if he does well at 3,000, like you're behind the 8 ball already because that's so cheap if he does anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's one of those guys like I usually like to push back and try to fade these cheap tight ends that open up sometimes. But yeah, Seals-Jones just looks really good for that price. They're like Logan Thomas is out. They're banged up at receiver. They're banged up at running back. They're going to have to be passing. Like you said, he had those end zone targets last week. He saw it. He had 2 back-to-back end zone targets in the first quarter. He had a 40-yard pass, I think, that was called back for a penalty. So he could have even had a better game. They're going to be passing all game, and it's 3K. So he doesn't really need to do much to get there. He can get there without a touchdown, just catching a lot of balls. And he can get there if he doesn't catch balls if he gets in the end zone because he gets he's such a big red zone target for them. So I think – you know, I'm leaning toward it. I think it's pretty good chalk if he's going to be popular. It lets you afford everything else. And he's playing in, you know, one of the best games to target. So I do like Seals-Jones.
I have a good way to get away from him, but I'm going to tease that. We'll get to it a little bit later. What about running backs? This is an interesting week this week because Christian McCaffrey missed practice yesterday. Sounds like he might not play. We don't know if he had a setback. We don't know what's going on, but we'll find out more information about that today. Derrick Henry, who has been kind of the obvious, first click in every tournament, every lineup for the last like 3 weeks, had great matchups and getting the ball a ton. Historic amounts of usage. Like it's like the highest amount of touches since like 2003 or whatever it is. But they're both off the slate. Henry plays on Monday night. McCaffrey's probably not going to play. Dalvin Cook, we think is going to play, but who knows how we're going to get this. Like the top guys are not really, guys were automatically clicking this week. So you kind of scroll down. When I was looking kind of who's going to be popular, Austin Eckler jumped out to me at 1,700. Jonathan Taylor really jumped out to me at 6,600. I think that's a price, again, that didn't adjust based on Monday night with an unbelievably good matchup against Houston right now. And, Jonathan Taylor last couple weeks, 16 for 103 2 weeks ago. Last week he had 169 total yards and 2 touchdowns. He had that long touchdown catch early in the game. Houston's allowing 4.7 yards per carry. As I was scrolling, I was like, I wonder where Jonathan Taylor's priced in the sevens. And I scrolled through the sevens. I'm like, did I miss him? He's 6,600. I just think that's the one that jumps out to me. I think he's going to be really popular.
Yeah, I think you're right. Jonathan Taylor jumps out to me too. It's a great matchup. Price is probably too cheap. Well, it is too cheap. I think he makes sense for cash games too. Normally, Taylor hasn't been a guy I considered in cash games because hasn't been involved in the passing game, but he's caught 3 balls in back-to-back weeks. And like you mentioned, including that long one on Monday night. And yeah, it's a great matchup. They should be winning and they should be, trying to close out the game in the second half. So yeah, Taylor makes a lot of sense for cash games. I think Darrell Henderson is in a pretty good spot too. Should be a good game script.
Yeah,
they should be winning against the Giants. The Giants have been pretty bad against the run. Henderson, you know, it's a good price tag, 6K, and he's got there every week. He catches passes too. So I think you can go there. Looking lower, I really like Darrell Williams in that KC game. I know his role.
There's a lot of cheap running backs. A lot of cheap running backs have opened up from, you know, a lot of injuries. Like, we have a lot of guys in the fives that are playable.
Yeah, like I'm interested to get your take on Khalil Herbert.
Yeah.
What do you think? When I was just for sure going to play Darrell Williams like all week, and then, you know, we get this Herbert news. He's 4,600. I've seen, you know, projections that say he's going to be popular. I'm not sure how I feel about it. What do you think?
Yeah, it's tough, right? I looked at Darrell. I always call him Darrell. I looked at Darrell Williams also. There's a lot as we get to into, you know, mid-range running back here in a bit. We'll talk about those guys. But Herbert is just 4,600. I think that, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, are there any free squares this week? Is there anybody's going to go automatically to? And I don't think Herbert's quite there, but David Montgomery's out. You mentioned Damian Williams out with the COVID. I mean, we don't know for sure he's not going to play, but I think highly likely. You get the COVID list that late in the week. I think he's probably going to be a pretty good chance he's not going to play. You look at Herbert. He played 34 snaps last week. He actually played more than I thought he was going to play. He was 18 for 75, pretty effective. He was a stud at Virginia Tech last year. Like, his yards per touch led the country. He was like 8.2 or something yards per touch. He's been good on that this year so far too. Good game script. Like, they're playing the Packers. They should be trailing. He can catch some passes too. You know, so a little bit worried that, you know, if they get behind, maybe they don't run the ball, but I think he's kind of involved just based on, they don't really have much else. He's a tough guy for me. I tend to struggle with, I've talked about Andrew for the years. I tend to struggle with these cheap running backs. Like, they look so good, and then you flip him on, and, you know, you flip on the game and he has 9 touches or something like that. It's just, it's tough to, I sometimes don't time those guys very well. It's been a spot that it's hard for me to get to, but 4,600 is the only guy there. Like, if David Williams is playing, I wouldn't touch it. I wouldn't trust the 18 touches from last week. You'd like to think that with Justin Fields, they set up plays where that really helps him because Fields is running the ball as a threat, but they haven't really done that very much. But 4,600 is tough to get away from. I think I'm definitely going to have some. I don't know if I'm going to be all in, but I'm definitely going to have some Herbert this week.
Yeah, 4,600 is cheap. You're right. It doesn't take a lot to get there. What had me leaning with Williams is just I feel like he's got significantly higher touchdown equity just playing for the Chiefs, being in that, you know, the Chiefs have the highest implied total. Back to the top quick, I kind of skimmed over that. Really like Eckler, obviously. And if McCaffrey's out, or even if McCaffrey's are active, I have a hard time going there, you know, unless we hear something that he's going to get all of the work, because, like, coming off that injury for 8,800, you know, you don't want McCaffrey to be in there for 60% of the snaps for 8,800. It makes it tough to get there. But if we heard some news that he was okay and going to get the majority of the work, then I would like McCaffrey because he might not be as popular with that questionable tag. But you know, assuming he's out, I really like Eckler. He makes a lot of sense opposite Lamar Jackson, you know, because he catches a lot of passes. He's scoring a lot of touchdowns. He's just doing everything for them. Dalvin Cook, it's interesting to see him without an injury tag and practicing fully. I don't love him. It's a tough matchup on the road against Carolina, and you think that Madison will probably still get some work too. Why I do like Dalvin is because he's cheaper than we normally see him and because people aren't going to play him. So,
agreed.
You know, he still does have a chance, you know, to be the highest scoring running back on the slate. Not as good of a chance as usual, but it's a good gamble for tournaments. I don't know that I'll get there. I like these 6K running backs more, but I think you could.
I think it's a good way to look at it with Cook. I think people will definitely be gun shy, just, you know, thinking that, you know, maybe he sits one out of every three series, or they don't really push him as much as normal. But you know, if that's a spot where you get someone who's an absolute stud like Dalvin Cook, hits a couple big plays, and suddenly you get there pretty well. So, and just real quick before we get into some tournament stacks, receiver in kind of, you know, cash games, high percentage. I think we always talk about Devontae Adams. Tyreek Hill, you mentioned, he's 8,500. Adams is 9,000. Tyreek did not practice on Wednesday or Thursday, so that's one you gotta see if you're going to commit that money. Make sure that you think he's going to play. And it's kind of easy for people to just go $15 cheaper. Kelsey, Cooper Kupp off the huge Robert Woods game. Still double-digit targets. He's 7,900. And then McLaurin is 7,100. We talk about the Chiefs watching him. I think a lot they're going to play him just because everybody's going to want a piece of that game. He's really, really good. If you're going to play Heinicke, you know, I think a lot of people will play him just because it's kind of an easy way to go, and Heinicke's cheap, so you can get to McLaurin pretty easily. Who do you think is the most rostered out of this top range of wide receiver?
Yeah, I think receiver's the toughest position in cash games this week because I think there's a lot of similar plays and not necessarily one that just jumps off the page. If I'm spending up, it's definitely going to be for Devontae. It's not like the best matchup against the Bears.
I'm not sure we care when it comes to Devontae. It's just ridiculous.
He's completely matchup proof at this point. Yeah. His salary is all the way up to 9K, you can afford it with the cheap running backs. So I do like going to Adams. I think he'll be popular in cash and the most popular in that top range. If I'm going further down, there's some 6K guys in good spots. Keenan Allen has a nice price tag. I think he's a pretty good cash play, like still getting a lot of targets and in a matchup where they should be passing. And then that lower 6K range, there's a lot of guys there. Like, I think you could go to Robert Woods. I think you could go to Marquise Brown, Brandon Cooks, Adam Thielen's really cheap. I would like Michael Pittman. I would like Michael Pittman a lot if I haven't checked yet, but I heard T.Y. Hilton might be back.
The ghost of T.Y. Hilton?
Yeah, it'd just be like a slight downgrade to Pittman, just in terms of cash games. He practiced twice this week, and I guess he's gonna test it out pre-game, but it seems like he's trending towards playing. If Tyreek Hill were to be out, I think Mecole Hardman is probably ends up the most popular, and he's a great cash play at that price. I'm struggling at receiver this week because nothing is just like jumping out. We've had some sort of easy plays the last few weeks, but I think you can use almost any of these guys in that upper 5 to low 6K range. What do you think? I mean, is anyone like who stands out for you, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is kind of more a little more tournament bells. I love Keenan Allen this week at 6,400. I just think that like the $1,700 difference between him and Mike Williams is absurd. Like, I know Mike Williams has been awesome. Mike Williams is great last week. Mike Williams is questionable right now. I feel kind of like I did with Robert Woods that we're going to have to hit a Keenan Allen week. I like a Keenan Allen, Justin Herbert stack. We're going to get to that in a second, but I do think that's really playable, and it's in a spot where not Herbert might be the fourth or fifth most popular quarterback, which I really like. But I think Marquise Brown off the Monday night game, a lot of people are going to move right to him too. And you mentioned Mecole Hardman. I have him down in cheap receivers, but obviously he becomes a pretty highly owned cash guy if Tyreek Hill doesn't play. 4,200 and coming off 12 targets. Weirdly, for a guy who's that fast and that you know, we always like, oh, big play, big play, big play. He didn't really do a lot with his targets. He was 9 for 76, I think. A lot of like kind of quick passes, but that's what the Chiefs do. Like, they don't like to throw the running backs. If they're going to get it out quick, it's going to be to Kelsey or to Hardman or to Hill. I think if Tyreek doesn't play, you got to think everybody goes to Hardman really quick at 4,200.
Yep, absolutely.
We talked about Ricky Seals-Jones at tight end. We talked about Kelsey at tight end. I think those are the two. Plus with Mark Andrews, I think everybody's going to play one of those three in cash games. Like, you just like a mid-range, a top level, a cheap guy. Like, it's easy to if whatever you're kind of finding your salary slot there. Those are the three that I think people will easily click to in at that position.
Yeah, I don't remember a week with tight end plays like this, like you said, that are just in such good spots and all in different price ranges. Kelsey at the top, Andrews sort of in the middle, and then Seals-Jones at the bottom. And they're all great plays. They're all like good chalk this week, too cheap. Andrews too cheap. Yeah, we've mentioned it already. So what it means is, and I didn't expect to be saying this this year. This doesn't happen very often. It might be the only time this season, but in cash games, I absolutely think you can play double tight end. I'm actually leaning towards it. I think those three are such good plays. Yeah. And if you play Seals Jones, you can just afford so much more. And then if you want to play Seals Jones, you don't want to miss out on Kelce or Andrews, because one of them is smashing for sure. I mean, you got to think so. So and you know, that with the fact that there's not like an obvious or too many obvious receivers to play, it has me looking at double tight end this week. I think it's very in play.
Yeah. And I never do it either, but I was thinking about that too. I mean, you think of the Seals Jones, like, we love to play a 3,000 wide receiver who's getting targets involved, you know, and you're like, well, I don't think he's that much different. Like, you just consider him a 3,000 wide receiver with 8 targets last week, you know, in an offense that likes to use the tight end, especially in the red zone. I think you just kind of, you in your mind, if you're like worried about playing two tight ends, just consider him your kind of punt 3,000 receiver and then play a tight end. It works pretty well.
Absolutely. Think of him as a 3K wide receiver. Absolutely. Yeah.
So let's jump into some tournament stacks. But first, a note from our sponsors at Thrive. Thrive is back for another season of fantasy football, and they're running huge guaranteed contests each week this NFL season. With Thrive Fantasy, you can eliminate the countless hours of research and focus on only the top-tier athletes that have the biggest impact on the game. Sign up today and get a free 6-month RotoWire subscription. Here's how you claim that free RotoWire subscription. Number one, you visit rotowire.com/thrive. Number two, you deposit a minimum of $10 and receive a $100 deposit bonus up to $100. And finally, play in your first paid contest, receive a free 6-month RotoWire subscription. So, Ryan, we talked about that. We're going to jump into some quarterback receiver stacks. I kind of spoiled my first one a few minutes ago. But Justin Herbert with Keenan Allen. $6,400 on Allen, $7,300 on Herbert. I think that as people click on their DFS lineups this week, I think it's so easy to just click Lamar instead of Herbert. You know, they're the same price, but Lamar's off that big, huge game in my night, kind of fresh in everybody's mind. Herbert was huge last week too. He was 398-4 against Cleveland, who we thought had a pretty good defense coming in. He was just dominant. The Ravens are 27th in the league. He gave up 8.3 YPA. I think Herbert's in a really good spot here. I think he's helped by the fact that people will go to Mahomes, Lamar, or down to Heineke. You mentioned Carson Wentz, also some cheap options there. I love Allen at $17 cheaper than Williams. I know he only has one touchdown, but he was still 6 for 75 last week. Still had 9 targets. 32 targets the last 3 weeks. He's really, really heavily involved. I feel like he's kind of due for a touchdown or two game. And Mike Williams is a little bit banged up this week too. So I really like going to Allen. It's easy to come back in this game too with a stack. You can come back with Hollywood Brown. You can come back with Mark Andrews, we talked about. I really like stacking this game. I think everybody will have pieces of this game. I'm hoping maybe people go more to Chiefs in Washington. But I like kind of going the Herbert stack to be a little different than Lamar.
Yeah, I love the Herbert stack. Chargers have been amazing this year, so has Herbert, and they could easily just win this game against the Ravens too. The Ravens have been inconsistent. They looked bad the first half of the Monday night game last week. And yeah, just with the difference in popularity too, you know, most people will go to Lamar at that price. Herbert will still be, you know, relatively popular, but less so. Yeah, I love going to Herbert and stacking him with Keenan Allen. I even think you could throw Jared Cook in there. Really cheap tag at 3-2. And sometimes when there's going to be chalk like Seals Jones, you can get good leverage playing another guy in that same salary range. We've seen Jared Cook do it before. So I think you can go like bigger stacks than you can pair your QB with multiple wide receivers in their multiple pass catchers in this game. Yeah, I love going to Herbert.
Yeah, and that's a really good point on Cook. I like that. You know, if people always talk about, you know, I want to fade the popular tight end. You find another guy in that range. I mean, that's the way to do it because everybody's going to scroll down there and click Seals Jones. Nobody's going to click Jared Cook. I do like that idea a lot. The other stack I want to talk about, and then I'm going to hit you up for a couple of years. I really like the Cincy stack. You mentioned Cincy against Detroit. Joe Burrow is 6,300. Jamar Chase has jumped on the scene. He's 6,700. He was 6 for 159 and touchdown on 10 targets last week, 50 plus yards every week, over 65 yards in 4 of 5, touchdown in 4 of 5. His targets are up the last couple of weeks too. Like we talked, he was hitting big plays early and now he's being heavily targeted and hitting big plays. he has 9 and 10 targets last 2 weeks. I think the not being able to catch the NFL football narrative is long in the past here. We talked about that in the preseason. But, you know, Burrow, multiple touchdowns in all 5 games. He's quietly been pretty good fantasy-wise. He hasn't had a huge monster game yet, but, you know, he's been really solid across the first 5 games of the year. The Lions are last in the NFL at 9.9 YPA. They haven't given up a ton of big games just because teams have been, you know, ahead of them and haven't had to pass. So you have to hope Detroit can hang in this game a little bit. So you're kind of betting on, you know, maybe Detroit hitting a couple plays in the first half and maybe keep Burrow throwing the second half. But you mentioned, you know, since he running backs are banged up, Mixon, you know, he's going to play, but who is going to get from him? I think Burrow and Chase, and then you mentioned the comebacks with, the, you know, you go Hockenson, you go St. Brown, you go DeAndre Swift. There are some choices there that work pretty well in a game that if Cincinnati scores a bunch of points, it works. So if I'm getting away from the big games, you kind of mentioned earlier, but I think Burrow, Chase, or you can go T. Higgins. He's 5,300 if you need to save some money. I like this as kind of a sneakier stack this week.
Yeah, I do too. I can always get behind playing Joe Burrow. I'm a big fan of his. He's been good this season. I think he has a big future. Yeah, pair him with Chase. They've had a great connection. Chase is a threat to score, you know, multiple touchdowns with his big playability. And I think you can also use 2 wide receivers in that stack. I know both Boyd and Higgins have decent salaries. I probably prefer Higgins, but I don't know. It's basically a toss up. And I like running it back with those Detroit guys. I think they will stay competitive at home. I mean, they seem to really play for this coach. You know, Dan Campbell was kind of, you know, he was a bit of, he was the butt of some jokes in the preseason, but the guy's growing on me. And I like these coaches where, you know, the players are going to play for him. You know, it's like the opposite of the Urban Meyer situation little bit.
Yeah.
So this Amon-Ra St. Brown, definitely a lot of target. I mean, yeah, these guys are just okay plays on their own now that Cephas is out too. So when that's the case, makes the stacks look even better. So yeah, I like that call on the Burrow Cincinnati stack. You know, I can't really believe I'm going to mention this, but for the bigger tournaments, the bigger large field tournaments, even somebody like Jared Goff is in play at 5,100. I mean, you only need like 20 points from a guy that's that cheap to win one of those tournaments. It's not really somewhere I'm going to go, but I figured I'd at least mention it.
Are there any other better quarterback receiver stacks we haven't talked about that you think you are going to play with this weekend?
Yeah, I'm gonna take a chance on Wentz and the Colts. Okay. They finally looked pretty good last week. And the salary is cheap, and Jonathan Taylor is gonna be very popular. So what if just all of Jonathan Taylor's touchdowns, you know, go to Wentz in the passing game instead? It's very easy. I like Pittman. I think like you can play Mo Alie-Cox for 3,100, and I will take a shot on T.Y. Hilton if he's active, just because he's 4,100. If he was, you know, 5K or whatever, no. But I mean, it doesn't take a lot at those prices.
And he's owned the Texans for a lot of years too. He always plays well against Houston. If you come back with someone in that game, do you come back with like a Brandon Cooks? Do you just not even bother with the Houston offense? What do you do if you play that stack?
Yeah, very good question. Tyrod Taylor, I guess it doesn't look. I heard that he might play. I mean, if Tyrod Taylor was playing, then I'd come back with Cooks for sure, because like I have confidence that he's going to catch balls and get a lot of targets. Right. Davis Mills, I don't know. Like in these spots, I don't think you need to run it back when you have like a cheap stack. And this Colt stack is a cheap stack. So you can get there if they blow them out, 30-7 or something. You don't need anyone in Houston. You don't always have to run your stacks back in these type of games.
That's a good answer. I like the answer there, because I always feel like I kind of try and force it, but there's times where, like, if I think this team's, like you said, going to score 7 points, like, well, there's somebody else I could put in my lineup that I think is going to do more than that. But before we get into some mid-range guys, I was curious what your thoughts are. We talked about running backs a lot, but expensive receivers. We kind of talked about the Devontae, Tyreek, Cooper Kupp range, but do you like any of the guys in the 7,000s? Anybody that, like, I think these guys are going to be pretty low roster this week. Justin Jefferson's 8,000. You know, I think he's so expensive that people will probably just go to Hill or Kupp. DeAndre Hopkins has been quiet. He's 7,900, did score last week. Doesn't have 10 targets yet in the game, but he's obviously DeAndre Hopkins. And then DJ Moore, like, coming off the quiet game. Everybody's loving DJ Moore. Finally had a quiet game. He's 5 for 42, still had 7 targets. His first game under 75 yards. He's 7,300. Any of these guys that, like, in these 7,000s that maybe aren't in the right game this week or aren't being talked about this week that you really would like to get kind of maybe as a standalone, as a receiver you really can go off this week?
Yeah. I'd like to make a case for some. I mean, just because of what you said, they're going to be sort of forgotten about. But yeah. I don't know. You know, I'll go. We've talked about McLaurin. He's not going to be overlooked. I'll definitely go to McLaurin at 7-1. But, you know, I'm going to say no, because I'll just go a little bit higher, because I don't think people are going to play Mike Williams. And that's nearly as much as the other pieces in that game, because of his salary. Like you said, 1,700 more than Keenan Allen. Like, people don't want to pay 81 for Mike Williams. You know, yep. I mean, in previous seasons, we didn't want to roster him for 5K. But so I think it's a good tournament play. You know, Tyreek Hill, obviously, but maybe not so obvious, because, you know, he's missed practice and has that questionable tag. That's when I like to play guys too. When people are going to be off him, for maybe they're worried about an injury, and maybe, right, you know, maybe he is a bit injured, but it's going to lessen his popularity. And, you know, Tyreek Hill breaks slates often. Yeah. We've seen him put up 40 plus fantasy points twice this year, and I think they're just going to be throwing the ball all game. So yeah, I can't really do it in that high 7 range this week. You're right though, it makes sense, because they're not going to be popular, but I'm just going to pay all the way up or go down.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I mean, you look at Tyreek, you talk about breaking slates, and like, those Washington defense is crazy. Like, we talked so much about, oh, their front seven's so good, all this. They gave up 279 and 4 to Jameis Winston last week, 283 and 4 to Matt Ryan the week before that. Like, I get it, in week 3, Josh Allen smoked him, but that's Josh Allen. But Matt Ryan and Jameis Winston smoking, there's something wrong with this defense. They've been awful. They're 31st in point per game to quarterbacks in fantasy. Obviously, the question mark is on Tyreek is the injury. But, like, I think he's a guy that – can miss practice a couple of games. If he looks okay today and gets out there a little bit, I think he's pretty likely to play. But obviously, you check that on Sunday morning, make sure he's playing, make sure he's active, make sure he looks good in pregame, all that kind of, you know, the stuff that we hear on the pregame shows. But yeah, I wonder if you know, people on Saturday are like, oh, he's questionable, I'm not gonna play him. I wonder if he's a little bit lower roster than we think, just based on the questionable tag. You mentioned that. That's probably a good time to get him in there.
Yeah, that's what happens. And then, like you said, like, just to put a little bow on it, this Washington defense has allowed the most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers, the most in the league, and they've given up the most receiving touchdowns in the league. Like you said, I think, 31st against quarterbacks, and yep, they're playing against arguably the best passing offense in football. Yeah. So, I mean, like, it's a great spot.
It is. Yeah, there's just no way around. I mean, there's options on both sides. It's just one of those games that, like, a lot of people are going to have a lot of, and for good reason. Like, it's not like people are sacking this game for no good reason. It should be a fun game. I just hope that, you know, you got to hope that Washington can hang with them a little bit to make it a kind of a shootout in the second half, rather than a 33-17 game where maybe the Chiefs sit on a little bit. But the Chiefs don't really have anybody to sit on it with. Like you mentioned, Darrell Williams, and we're going to talk about mid-range running backs right now. But first, a note from our sponsors at Yahoo DFS. The new NFL season is underway, and Yahoo is excited to kick off daily fantasy football. There'll be a ton of big prize contests throughout the season on Yahoo, including their multi-entry contest now being shark-free. To celebrate the beginning of football season and Yahoo Daily Fantasy becoming shark-free, Yahoo is giving all users the opportunity to get a free $10 in contest entry credit. Users can take advantage of this free $10 contest entry credit offer to join one of Yahoo's biggest contests. In addition to the free credit, Yahoo has the $1 million DFS DFS football contest now live. The $1 million contest features $1 million in total prizes, including first place receiving $100,000 and an entry into the first ever Yahoo Fantasy Football Championship live finals event, which will occur at MGM National Harbor in Maryland this December. Play daily fantasy football on Yahoo this season. Visit sports.yahoo/dailyfantasy/welcome to claim that free $10 to get us started. Play on Yahoo DFS this year. It'll be a good time there. Mid-range running backs. One guy kind of just out of the mid-range, but we haven't talked about yet. I wanted to ask you about Zeke Elliott. Has looked like the old school Zeke the last couple of weeks. He's 7,100 at New England. Potentially a good game script. You got to think. I think Dallas is like four to five point favorites in this game. He has 95 plus rushing yards in three straight games. Five touchdowns last three games. Alvin Kamara and Leonard Fournette each had 90 yards on New England. They haven't given up 100 yard running, but they have kind of gotten close to there. Where do you feel following Zeke this week? He's kind of in this like weird mid-range where it's kind of hard to get there. Jonathan Taylor's cheaper and in a better matchup. Where do you think you fall on Zeke this week?
Yeah, you know, I can't argue against Zeke, but for whatever reason, I'm having a tough time. I've been having a tough time jumping on board because of just sort of how bad he was the last year and the emergence of Tony Pollard and Dallas's passing game. However, like you said, they're really committed to the run, and Zeke looks good. He looks good. He looks explosive. He's had some big plays. He's scoring touchdowns. So, yeah, I don't mind going there. You know, Dallas has one of the higher implied totals on the slate. And like you said, it should be a good script where they're running the ball. I think, you know, if he's not going to be popular, that's sort of what it comes down to, which I don't know. I mean, we'll wait to see how some of these injuries shake out. If you have, you know, access to ownership projections, check them out. If he's not going to be popular, I like taking a chance on Zeke. You're right. Everything sets up good for him here. I'm not sure if I'll get there, but I can't argue against it, I guess, is the best answer.
So the Browns running backs are an interesting spot. They're both questionable right now. I think obviously either one becomes really, really popular and important if one of them sits. Like if Chubb doesn't play, Hunt at 6,200 is going to be popular. If Hunt doesn't play, Chubb at 7,200 goes way up. Chubb was big last week, 21 for 161 in touchdown. He has over 80 yards rushing each week. Like it's a great matchup because like Arizona has four wide receivers out there all the time. Cleveland runs the ball more than anybody. Like it's a really interesting dichotomy between these two teams, but you know, Kareem Hunt's been over 60 yards rushing the last 3 weeks. He had 17 targets the last 3 weeks. Do you need one of them to sit to play the other? Where do you fall on the Browns running backs to be kind of mm-hmm. as in general?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like you said, if one of them sits, the other one is just a great play. You know, good enough to be played in cash games easily. And I would have a ton of exposure to whichever one started. Yeah. If they both play, I think they're okay for tournaments, mostly because people just don't like playing these Cleveland backs when they both play. But they always get there. And like you said, the spot against Arizona might go a little bit overlooked. Cleveland relies on these guys so much. And like there's just this added thing of the fact that they're both sort of questionable and banged up. You know, it does happen where one of them, you know, feels something in the first quarter and the other one takes over. So stuff like that happens quite a bit. I think you can roster either one of them if they're both active. Chubb's been great. They've both been great. Yeah. So I'm on board this week for tournaments because I don't think people just don't do it when they're both active.
Yeah. As you will get, you will learn from doing this podcast with me, I am a huge Nick Chubb fan. He's one of my favorite running backs. I roster him a lot. I had him last week and he was really good, but it's frustrating. Like you get down inside the five and you're like, oh, there's Kareem Hunt. You have to look at the helmet to see what the hair looks like to know who's in or the number. But it's just, you know, you're like, oh, there's Hunt. And I mean, Hunt's really good. So I get it. But, you know, they do run the ball enough where you can play them if they both play. But yeah, I think if one sits, you know, the other becomes a play really quickly. On that same note, if Christian McCaffrey sits, I think they're kind of leaning towards that. Do you entertain Chuba Hubbard at 5,900 against the Vikings?
Yes. I was prepared to be off of him, but I can't ignore that last game. Rushed for over 124 carries and getting targets in the passing game again. Five catches, 29 touches. Yeah, that's, I mean, if he would get that again, it'd be one of the better plays on the slate. I wouldn't necessarily expect that again, but it's a little bit tougher matchup against Minnesota. But yes, if McCaffrey's out, I definitely have interest in Chuba. Yeah, I do. I was thinking about the other side of that game. Minnesota doesn't necessarily have people that I'd want to run it back with, but you don't need to stack your running backs. Like, guys like Chuba can be played as one-offs. So yeah, I think that's a really good call. Some of these other guys like Henderson, Taylor, and Swift are going to be popular. They're the ones that people are talking about this week, and that makes Chuba, you know, even better. And then, yeah, just I wanted to say when you were talking about Chubb, like, I see that over 20 carries in three straight games. Like, yeah, it doesn't matter if Kareem Hunt's active. You can always play Chubb.
Yeah, I mean, and the only issue is he's got to kind of hit that big 20-yard or plus touchdown just because, you know, Hunt does play in the goal line. But, I mean, he's good enough. He did last week. He had a 50-60-yard touchdown. Mm-hmm. What do you do with someone like, we have Saquon Barkley's out this week. Devontae Booker had 19 touches last week and two touchdowns after Saquon left. But playing the Rams, 5,400, they priced him up a little bit with Barkley out. The Rams are allowing 4.3 yards per carry, but some of that is skewed. Like, they give up a couple of big plays to Chase Edmonds. They've been pretty good against running backs other than that. Do you entertain someone like Booker this week? It seems hard to get there with all the options we have in this range, but starting running back at 5,400, I guess we got to mention him.
Yeah, no, he's an important question this week. Like, when I first opened the slate a few days ago, I was expecting to have some interest because I expected him to be, you know, maybe 4,500 or something. But like you said, they priced him up and the matchup is not good. But what makes him like intriguing is that he might have a three down role, like just take over Barkley's role and just be out there all the time catching passes too. So I think he's okay. Like you said, though, you know, we like some guys below him and above him.
Yep.
Probably like those guys more than him. You know, the matchup against the Rams isn't great, but you know, you can see paths to Booker having a good game. So I don't mind it at all. But kind of like the other guys better. But I do think he's in play. He's interesting.
It's funny, like in some weeks, $5,400, you know, starting running back would be like, oh my gosh, roll over that. But we've got like 10 guys under 7,000 are playable. So it's a weird week where we have injuries. We have kind of emerging guys. Last running back I want to ask you about, Javonte Williams is 5,000. I have a hard time playing someone who is just splitting carries, and it's still splitting carries with Melvin Gordon. But like, you see all these charts on Twitter and stuff that like Javonte Williams is like eluding tackles. He's really explosive, really good. I feel like there's going to be a game where it's going to be, oh, we're finally moving to Javonte Williams. I just think that it's tough to time it. You can't play him every week trying to get to that game. Last week, he only played 25 snaps. He was 8 for 61, like explosive, good. He's 5,000. I can't get there with the split carries, but I acknowledge that I just might be a week late at some point, and people will keep playing him. You're probably going to hit that big game at some point, but I just think it's going to be too frustrating to do that until you get there.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. There's going to be a time for Javonte Williams. Unfortunately, I don't think it's now. It's too risky with these other plays. But yeah, like you said, I saw that stat about him, you know, something about breaking the most tackles in football or something like that. Yeah, you know, just with Melvin Gordon there and getting more work, I just can't do it. Like you said, maybe we'll be behind on him 1 week. But also maybe not, you know, just it might just be just wait for when Melvin Gordon's going to be out.
Yeah. And we've got Darrell Williams at 4,900 right underneath him. We have Khalil Herbert underneath him at 4,600. You have Booker and Chuba right above him. It seems like there are weeks where maybe, you know, the value in getting Javonte Williams makes sense. But I think there's too many guys that are definitely the guy this week around that same range. I don't think I can get there.
Yep. I agree.
Let's talk about some mid-range receivers. We mentioned Robert Woods, E6100. How do you feel about Courtland Sutton this week? 6,200 against Vegas. He had 11 targets last week, 7 for 120, 19 touchdowns the last 2 weeks. He's kind of the only guy left. Like Noah Fant is, you know, there, but not really involved. KJ Hamler's out. Jerry Jeudy is still out. Do you have any interest in Sutton this week at 6,200? They have priced him up a little bit from kind of that lower range we were playing him at earlier.
Yeah. And I do have interest. They have priced him up a bit, but I do still have interest in Sutton. It's a really talented receiver, getting a lot of targets. He has a big ceiling too. So I know like you don't like necessarily rostering Denver receivers, you know, with Teddy Bridgewater. This is an all right spot for them. I like the fact that he gets a lot of targets. He gets end zone targets. They throw him deep balls. He has big playability. And people will roster the other receivers in that range more. You know, Keenan Allen above him and guys like Robert Woods and Marquise Brown and other guys below him. I'm not saying Sutton won't be popular. He's a good play. People will play him, but I'm on board with Sutton this week.
Yeah, I think you actually be pretty low rostered. I think that the point you mentioned, you got Keenan Allen and CeeDee Lamb right above him. You have Woods, Amari Cooper, Marquise, and Brandon Cooks right below him. I just think that I think people will go to other games in that situation. Last week was probably my best week of the season so far. A lot of that was to do to a $4,000 Kadarius Toney. Andrew and I talked a bunch about him. In that game last week, it was kind of a nice game stack opportunity with the Cowboys. He's priced up this week. He's up at 5,600. Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton may play, but like he looked dynamic last week. 10 for 189 prior to getting ejected from the game. I understand that. But we might have a backup quarterback. Daniel Jones, I think, is probably going to play, but you know, concussion protocol, it's always really close in getting that green light. We get Mike Glennon if he doesn't play. What do you do with Tony at the new 5,600 price tag this week?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm glad to hear you say that you had a good week with Kadarius Toney, because I did too. I played him in cash and nice. I played him everywhere. I was surprised that more people didn't play him, I guess. Yeah, he was, you know, somewhat popular at a 4K price tag, but he should have been more. So yeah, I'm glad we got our big Kadarius Toney game. For this game, I don't like that he's priced up, but with Galladay out, well, first of all, Daniel Jones has to play for me to have any interest in those Giants receivers.
100%, yeah.
But, you know, with Galladay out, and I know, I guess, Shepard and Slayton seem trending towards playing, but if one of them happened to be out, then yeah, you know, I just look for situations where the team just doesn't have anybody, so you know the usage and targets are going to be there.
And he looked dynamic last week. Like he looked right. Really good. He passed the eye test big time.
He absolutely passed the eye test, which is that's what you want to see. I mean, he was making big plays. They were getting him the ball in all different ways, throwing him deep balls and throwing him short passes too. So I guess I will have more interest if one of Shepard or Slayton is also out alongside Galladay. Yeah. It's the price tag that's keeping me off him just a little, the price tag and the matchup. But I do still, you know, I still like him. But we'll see.
And you've got Michael Pittman, who you mentioned a couple times, right below there at 5,500. He's got 39 targets last 4 weeks, 6+ catches in 4 straight games. I think it's kind of easy. Like, yeah, I just can just kind of play with Pittman and go with all the targets there against Houston. You can go in that game too. One other name I want to throw out at you before we get to the really cheap options. 4,800. You're going to think I'm crazy, but 18 targets last 2 weeks. He is $2,500 less than the other receiver in on his team. Robbie Anderson is 4,800. Robbie Anderson is talented, has been an absolute bust this year. 4,800 against Minnesota. Minnesota's getting up some big plays to receivers. Do you think the uptick in targets, he hasn't really done a lot with him. Do you think the uptick in targets is a good sign that maybe we're going to get that big week here at some point, and maybe it's this week?
Yes, I do. I can get on board with Robbie Anderson. You know, there's been a lot of, I know the coaches have brought it up. He's brought it up. There's been a lot of like public talk about trying to get him more involved. And that's a good sign. Yeah. And we know Anderson's big playability. So like one of these weeks, he's going to go off. You're right. And you don't want to miss it. The fact that he's gotten 18 targets in the last 2 weeks is promising. $4,800 salary is promising. Yeah, I have no problem going to Robbie Anderson this week.
My old partner chiming in the chat, Andrew Laird, said it only took a week for him to leave me, start talking about Robbie Anderson before DJ Moore. I did mention DJ Moore earlier, but it's just a huge price difference. So good to see you on Friday morning, Andrew, even though you're not actually talking to me, but what about cheap receivers? You mentioned Amon-Ra St. Brown. We mentioned Mecole Hardman. I think that both going to be popular down here. If you're going to get really tricky, I mentioned a pivot away from Ricky Seals-Jones earlier. In that same game, Washington has a lot of banged up receivers. Dyami Brown kind of practiced this week. We don't know if he's going to play. Cam Sims is out. Next to Terry McLaurin, last week we had DeAndre Carter. He's 3,000 minimum price. Obviously, we talked a ton about this game. DeAndre Carter played 58 snaps last week, had 8 targets, and was 4 for 52. He's a dynamic guy. He's a really good kick returner, and he had a kick return for a touchdown against Atlanta the week before. For me, I think Dyami Brown has to sit for me to play him. But if DeAndre Carter is playing 55 to 60 snaps this week in this game, I think he makes a really interesting piece to this game. Like, this game's going to be high scoring. Washington's going to be throwing the ball the whole second half. If you have something that's going to be out there on the field every play, I really like that at min price. And I think he's a really sneaky move away from Ricky Seals-Jones, getting the same offense, same action here. If we can get the same price, I really like going from Seals-Jones to Carter in kind of a big pool tournament.
Absolutely, yeah. And especially if this Dyami Brown is out, like you said, he would have to be out. But if he's out there playing 58 snaps or whatever again, 3K, yeah, I'd consider him in the tournaments I'm playing, even more so than just the big field stuff. You can play him anywhere for that type of usage. But like you said, that's one where you got to check the actives at receiver for Washington. People have been trying to play Curtis Samuel the last 2 weeks. I mean, a lot of people have even played him in cash. People have been trying to play him in tournaments. I don't know if I could go there, one of these cheap Washington receivers though. Yeah. Looks really good. Whichever one's going to play. So I guess we'll have to wait on that, but I'm on board with Carter. If those guys are out. Absolutely. I think that's a good call.
I think Curtis Samuel is pretty safe to not play. It sounds like he's week to week. So I'm pretty good there. Cam Sims sounds week to week too. I think it's Dyami Brown who is the key there. If he's going to play the two, then I'm probably a little scared of Carter, but man, if he's out there every snap, min price, and you know, if you can play him instead of Seals-Jones and get a little bit different, I do like that player. Are there any other 3,000 receivers you like this week? We mentioned St. Brown and Hardman a little above that range. We mentioned Carter at the bottom. I didn't like a ton of guys in the 3,000s, but curious if there's anybody that's really jumping out to you.
Yeah, in the 3,000 range, not at the moment. No, not unless we get some news. If one of Jefferson or Thielen would sit, I think you could look at KJ Osborne. There is one actually. Yeah. If T.Y. Hilton doesn't play, and if you're going to use a Carson Wentz stack, I think you could go to Paris Campbell in bigger tournaments. Again, I don't love it, but like, you know, these are 3K wide receivers.
Right.
And then just, I guess, a little higher, since we mentioned those guys in the 4K range, you know, Hardman, probably going to be popular, will be very popular if Tyreek's out. I mentioned St. Brown for 42. I don't mind Mooney for 43. I'm definitely worried about Fields just not being a very good passer. But, like, if you're going to play Devontae Adams, someone on Chicago, you know, Allen Robinson's questionable too. Someone on Chicago is going to have to catch passes, and Mooney's like looked pretty good with Fields so far. They throw him deep balls. He's had a couple big games already, so I don't mind that. But yeah, not a lot besides what we've talked about.
Yeah, like if you want to get boring, like Kendrick Bourne's been getting you some targets and they play Dallas, if you think they're going to get behind and catch up. But I think I'm Carter at the bottom or just move to St. Brown or Hardman at 4,200. The 3,000 is usually a range I like, but I don't like a lot in there this week. But
agreed.
Let's talk about tight ends. We kind of already hit most of it. We've got the Kelce, the Andrews, the Ricky Seals-Jones, kind of the three tiers. Is there anybody else that you're really thinking strongly about? I think that if you at the top, if you want to get different, you go Darren Waller instead of Kelce. If you want to get different in the middle, you go Dalton Schultz instead of Mark Andrews. What do you feel about kind of moving away from those three guys if you want to get a little different at tight end?
Okay, yeah. So the three that we've mentioned, Kelce, Andrews, Seals-Jones, I think they're such good plays that the only way I'll go away from them is if the tight end fits in my stack, which it will. I think there's other guys you can play. Like we've mentioned some of these cheap guys. I like pairing Jared Cook with Herbert. I don't know. You can make a case for any of these guys. I don't think I'm going to do it. Like Darren Waller will have next to no ownership this week. We know he can put up huge ceiling games. That's like a large field tournament type play when you have guys like Kelce and Andrews above and below him who are going to be super popular. Yep. I don't know. Can you sell me on someone? I'm going to eat this chalk at tight end this week.
Yeah, I mean, the only guy I'd sell you on is if you're playing Dallas. I think the Dalton Schultz back-to-back week with 8 targets, 658 in a touchdown, and 6 for 79. They're really using their tight ends. It seems like Dak is really focusing on them, whereas the receivers are getting a little bit less attention than we thought. Schultz is a couple of back-to-back good games, but it's really hard to you have to do it in a tournament. It's really hard to play him just flat out over Mark Andrews. I mean, Andrews has 11 for 147, 2 on 13 targets on the Monday night game. And there was a play in that Monday night game where Lamar had all the time in the world, and you could see in the red zone, he just looks for Andrews. Like he was waiting for Andrews to break open and finally hit him. Like he's just, when they get inside the 20, he's looking for 89 every time. And the key is that they're using on some deeper plays in the middle of the field too. Like they've expanded his usage, especially the last 3 weeks. He has, 38 targets the last 3 weeks. It has to be in a tournament just trying to be different and moving off the popular Andrews to Schultz. But that's what I would do. If I want to do the same thing, I'd go to Waller from Kelce. I think that Hunter Henry, if you want to get different from Seals-Jones, he's 3,900 coming on lately, 19 targets last 3 weeks. He scored the last couple weeks. He was 6 for 75 last week. It's pretty clear to me that Henry has elevated above Jonnu Smith on that usage chart for New England. But, I don't know. You pay $900 more for it than you for Seals-Jones. It's tough there. So I think that – I think the three we talked about are just kind of they're so obvious this week, but those are the spots that go. If I want to get a little different, it's Waller, it's Schultz, it's Hunter Henry.
I like your Dalton Schultz call. Also because the Cowboys have the third highest implied total on the slate, and they're not going to be popular this week. They've been popular every single week, and now they're not going to be. So I think, I do like playing Dak with one of the receivers and Dalton Schultz in tournaments. That's a stack we didn't talk about. But now that the Cowboys passing game isn't going to be popular, that's when you jump on.
And their receivers aren't expensive. I mean, Lamb 65. Amari Cooper 6,000. We mentioned Schultz 4,900. Like you can play that pretty easily, and then get a couple expensive pieces in from other games, and really be still have a piece of those really high scoring games, but be different with your stack. And I think it's a really interesting. You could even play a Dak stack and get either Devontae Adams in there or Austin Eckler, and have pieces of those popular guys, but be different elsewhere, and really kind of get where you need to be. I think the Dallas passing stack is a really interesting one this week.
Definitely.
Let's talk real quick about defense here at the end. I think people tend to forget about defenses, play whoever is cheap. But there are a couple of cheap defenses that I like, and I cheap. I usually say under 3,500. But what do you think about defense this week? I'd like to get your thoughts there before I let you know mine.
Okay. I'm anxious to hear your thoughts because I can't find a defense under 3,500 that I actually want to play.
All right, I got two of them, but who do you think about playing?
In cash games, I'm just going all the way down and playing the Lions. I always pay down at defense, especially on DraftKings. It's just not worth trying to predict it, at least in cash games. In tournaments, that's a different story. It makes sense to pay up at defense sometimes to look for defenses who are going to score the most points. In cash games, don't worry about it. Play the cheapest defense that you're comfortable with. I think people, you know, I've heard some people, I don't know, I can't even recommend this. I've heard people talking about like the Ravens, but like, no, I'll go down. I'm going to play the Lions in cash. But yeah, who are you looking at? I guess, who's the defense that you actually want to play on this slate? Like, I'm scrolling all the way up. Like, the first one that I'd be comfortable with is the Colts at 3,500.
Yeah, it's a weird week because I didn't – usually like a couple jump out to me and it was like, you know, where do I go here? But the two that jumped out to me is like I think I'm going to play the first one's at 3,200 is Dallas against New England. Dallas has multiple interceptions in every game. New England's thrown five picks the last three games. I think that Dallas is going to be leading this game. I'm not as big on New England as most people are. I think that Dallas is win this game by double digits, and I like that. Rookie quarterback in the second half, down points, having to throw the ball. Tampa Bay sacked New England four times a couple of weeks ago. I think you can get to the quarterback against New England too. So I think Dallas' defense is just really good. I know everybody's been talking about Trayvon Diggs and the interception every game, but I just think their defense overall is really going to get to the quarterback. I want pressures. I want a rookie quarterback. I want forced throws. I think he might get that in the second half of this game. So I like that. The other one I like, I really like Minnesota at 2,900 against Carolina. Minnesota has multiple sacks in the game in every week. They had seven get sacks total in the last 2 weeks. I think we saw some old school Sam Darnold last week. They turned it over four times. They've been sacked eight times the last 2 weeks, 11 times the last 3 weeks. I think Minnesota is going to get to Darnold. And I think that, you know, we saw a little bit of it last week. Darnold might force some balls. So if you get me, you give me sacks and you give me maybe some mistakes, I think we're going to get the floor of the sacks for sure. And we get three or four of them. I think Darnold may make a couple of mistakes. So I think under 3,000, Minnesota 2,900 is a play that you might hit a big play on, and you're going to get a floor of sacks, which I like.
Yeah, okay. I think both those make sense. I really like the Dallas call. Yeah, always love targeting rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah,
always. And you're right. Dallas's defense has looked great this year. Obviously, Trayvon Diggs has looked amazing, but their line, too, has been really good. Yeah, so I like going to Dallas. I don't know. I have trouble really recommending anything else. I don't know.
Yeah, those are my two.
What about the Browns at home?
Yeah, I mean, if you think that the Kyler like arm injury is a thing, and maybe he's a little worried. Yeah, I mean, they're 2,600. They're good defense. They got smoked last week, so maybe they're a little chip on their shoulder. Yeah. I don't love going against Kyler because he's so elusive. It's hard to sack him. But yeah, I think he gave up. I think they had 2 and 3 sacks the last couple of weeks. So it's one of those things that. Yeah, I think that's you're getting a good defense at a cheap price, so I could see it. I'd probably go up a little bit to Minnesota if I were going to do it, though.
Yeah, I guess the reason I brought it up is because we didn't talk about Kyler at all, but
yeah,
you know, if he's not moving around in the pocket, he's a totally different quarterback, and he did not look very good last week. You know, there's times when Kyler turns the ball over to. And yeah, I just mentioned Cleveland because they're just a good defense, and playing at home, you don't know about Murray's health. But and otherwise, Murray's been so good that he's not a guy I'm looking to play defenses against. But
and it's a little narrative street, but I always like a good defense after they just got smoked because I think they're like pissed off in practice all week. And you're right, Kyler did not ever. You know, the Niners really played Kyler well last week, and they have not played him well in the past. Like, he's usually run around pretty well. I mean, he hasn't really smoked him passing the ball, but he usually runs on pretty well. But he had that they were like rubbing his arm on the sideline. And he's a guy that, like, if he gets a little dinged up, you mentioned earlier, he's a different quarterback. And mm-hmm. He's last year with the shoulder, like, he became a different quarterback in the second half. I don't think this injury is serious enough that that's an issue, but I'd be a little bit worried about that. The only thing I really like in the Arizona game, I do like playing DeAndre Hopkins kind of by himself. We mentioned that in the 7,000s. I think he's workable there, but it's hard to get there with all the receivers we talked about. One question to chat before we get out of here. Someone asked if you'd play both Cleveland backs if they're both active on the same lineup.
I can't do that. No,
I
just don't. It's almost impossible for both to have a ceiling game. Like, we've seen it before, but you know, if one of them was 4K, then sure, like maybe you could play two running backs on the same team. But with the salaries, no, because some other running back in that range is going to hit a ceiling. And it's just, it's very hard for both of them to score over 20. Like, yeah, I get it. You look at their game log and you see that they've both been doing well, but it's too much to ask.
I agree there. I you can like squint and kind of see ways they can get there. But I think that, you know, timing two running backs in the same back we have a ceiling game, maybe you get that once all year. Like, I just don't think it's a strategy that's going to work, at least not for me. You know, you might hit that right game, but and they're playing Arizona this week. It's not like they're playing Houston or someone that, like, oh my gosh, they're going to carry the ball 40 times between them. But playing against Arizona, I'm not doing it this week. But anybody else you want to mention? Anything else on your mind on this slate you want to mention before we jump out of here?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I just end with the most important thing for these NFL tournaments every week. Always remember that half of the chalk is going to fail. Half of these sure thing plays, these locks, you know, smash plays, half of them always fail. And the winning tournament lineups always have players that aren't going to be popular. So take some chances.
And that doesn't mean take all chances. I mean, you could play some of these.
No, obviously.
Like, some of them, right. Some of those chalk, you mentioned half's going to fail. On the flip side, half's going to hit. You just have to hit the right ones. But you're right. You know, like, I think a mix of, I think sometimes people are like, oh, I need, you know, 6-1% guys in my lineup. Like, you don't need that. But yeah, you need a mix amount. You don't want all the chalk guys. You want a good mix. And I think people sometimes go too far extremes either way. I think you kind of meet in that middle. When I look at tournament winning lineups, like, there's a lot of them that have Derrick Henry when he's popular, but they had a receiver that's 3%. They're like, oh, I see how that makes sense now. But I think it's important to know, you know, you want to mix it. You don't need to go the craziest lineup of all time. Those don't work either, because it's you're not going to hit 8-1% guys. But
I'll say one more thing about that. Yeah. There's good chalk too. And if you're going to play chalk, you know, or at least the ones you like, it's fine to be way over the field on them. Last week I played 100% of Alexander Mattison. There's weeks that I play Henry or Devontae in 100% of my lineups. So if they're going to be popular and I really like them, just you can go all in on those guys. That's a way to beat the popularity.
Yeah, and the Madison point's really good. Like, we kind of harp on, here's all the things that you like, but, like, that was a Sunday morning play. Like, Dalvin Cook was ruled out Sunday morning at 8:15 Pacific time. They had an hour and a half to just lineups. But, like, there, you've got to make sure that you look at all those lineups, because there's one move like that, and Alexander Madison was, I think he was 6,200, whatever it was last week. Like, he's an automatic play at that point. Like, I just changed all my lineups, and I put Madison in FanDuel and DraftKings. I was like, you know what? I'm just doing this. He's really good when he plays. Cook's not playing at all. You know, make sure you hit those news, like, you make sure you're okay getting off who you like to go to something that's really obvious and kind of adjust. But just a note that, you know, make sure Sunday morning you're checking those inactives, because the Cook one was a big one last week.
Definitely. And yeah, it ended up Madison ended up being 70 some percent in the $100 double up and only 30% in the $5 double up. So there's a 40% difference. So there's big edge in those smaller double ups on DraftKings.
Yeah, there are just people that, you know, they set the lineup on Saturday night and they'll think about it again. And it's a big thing. So if you're putting $100 double up, you probably aren't doing that, as you notice from the stats. But, you know, you get someone that's 30% owned that should be 70% owned. That's a big edge right there.
Cool. Yep.
Well, thanks everybody for listening. Thanks everybody watching to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, the DFS version, sponsored by WinBet. I want to thank Ryan for jumping on with me. Hopefully he enjoyed it enough to jump back with me next week. Hopefully he's not going to run away after 1 week, but just joking, obviously. But thanks everybody for listening. We really appreciate that. Hope everybody has a good week 6. We'll be back at you with week 7. We're flying along the season. Thanks everybody for listening. Hope you have a great weekend. Take care.
Yeah. Thanks, Scott. Good luck, everybody.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to buyoptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at buyoptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.